If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're now 2 weeks away from the AFL Draft, a night where dreams will be made. And today is the day that the Code Sports Phantom Draft is released, and we've got our draft experts in the building to discuss it all. Chris Kavanagh and Dan Batten join us. Good morning, boys.
G'day, Ed. Yeah, good to be on.
Yeah, good to be here to see Cavs Phantom Draft. It's he's been making plenty of calls. He's been busy all week, so keen to unpack it.
Yeah, quick to disown the Phantom Draft there, Dan. Wash your hands of it.
That's right. It's only Chris's. So yeah.
Spent 3 days on the phones, but I think we've got a rough idea of what might happen now.
So we've had some great content the last couple of weeks on Code Sports. These two did a mock draft a couple of weeks ago, looking into what clubs would be most interested in the draft, but now we've got a better idea of the order and potentially some pick swaps that might play out. So, Cav, let's start with how you pulled this one together, the process and the effort it's taken.
Yeah, as I say, a fair bit of effort, a lot of phone calls over the past few days, but spoken to a lot of recruiters, a lot of other industry sources, we could say. And then you just got to puzzle it together and work out who's telling you the truth and who's might be, telling a few fibs, which people do. But it's been a process, but I think I've got the puzzle together for about the first 36 picks. So, I think there's going to be a few pick swaps, which I have included in the Phantom Draft because they will change a fair bit of things. So I've got Adelaide trading in a future first to Carlton for pick 11 because the Blues want that future first to match a bit on Cody Walker next year. And they also, that pick 11 will get pushed back if the Harry Dean bid comes quite early, which we think it will. I've also got Essendon trading picks 21 and 27 to Gold Coast for 18 and 36. Gets Essendon in before an Adam Suede bid and also gets Gold Coast a few extra points to match some academy bids. And then I've got West Coast trading 13 and 34 to Carlton for pick 9, which again helps Carlton get some more points in to match that early bid on Harry Dean. So I factored in those in the order there, which is why it's a little bit different to what the official order might say.
Yeah, so just on those pick swaps, Carlton giving away two first rounders, would they have been tempted to try and have one ping in the first round alongside their bids for Dean and Ison, or could it just not happen?
It basically can't happen because if a bid for Dean comes in the top six, Carlton's, or if they keep 9 and 11, one of them's going to slide, one of them's going to be swallowed up, 9 will be taken, and then 11 would slide back probably into the 20s because of some other bids around that area as well. So I don't think it makes much sense for Carlton to hold those two picks, and that's why they are exploring options ahead of the draft.
Let's talk about the bids and where they come in, because that would have been one of the most complicated parts of the mock draft, I'm sure. But Richmond, on the list here, it looks like they're turning back into Bidmond again. They're having a crack at a few different players in a row. Is that something that you reckon they're willing to do? It might incense a few clubs.
Yeah, clubs tell me that Blair Hartley, the Tigers list boss, is on the warpath. So he's ready just to go bid, which I think Dan predicted when he had Richmond in the mock draft the other week. So I think West Coast is pretty certain to bid on Zeke Ulan at pick 2. And then from there, it's Richmond probably. Well, I think West Coast is a chance to bid on Harry Dean as well. I'm not ruling that out at all, but I think maybe if they do a deal with Carlton, that's potentially less likely. And then Richmond, I think they just go bang, bang, bang with Dylan Patterson, Dan Annable, and Harry Dean if West Coast hasn't. So, it's going to be a few bids in that, well, four bids in that first six and quite a few more to come after that.
Yeah, so, Dan, if you're Xavier Taylor or Sullen Rovey or Sam Grill coming to Richmond at pick 7 or 8 after a procession of 3 or 4 bids, does that affect you in any way, do you think? Or do you think players sort of accept that that's just how it can fall, those bids?
It is an interesting one because we've seen in the past often, Will Ashcroft, Levi Ashcroft, some regarded as Will in particular as the number one player in that draft class, but other clubs opted to go their own guy instead. of Will. Obviously, Jamara, one of the only ones really to attract that number one pick bid.
Nick Dacos got the pick four, didn't he say?
Yeah, that's right. But I think when you look at the power rankings, obviously we've watched a fair bit of the draft throughout the year. It's fair enough almost to have those guys ahead, like your Patterson, Annable, and Dean on talent. You know, probably maybe ahead of a Sullivan Roby, who's come very late for sure, and could end up being one of the better players in this draft class. But there is a bit of an unknown there, and Xavier Taylor as well, more of a half back type. Obviously, your key position midfield half back probably a little bit more valuable potentially than say a medium defender. But yeah, he has huge upside as well. So I'm not sure they'll mind too much, especially Xavier Taylor is a Tigers fan. So I think he'd be pretty happy landing at the Tigers.
And talk us through some of the bolters here, Cav, that have come in late, maybe weren't on the radar as much in the top 10 or 20 in the mock draft a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so I think one is definitely Jai Murray, who's the Gold Coast Suns Academy. I think he could get a bid from as early as Geelong at pick 20. That's where I've got him getting a bid at this stage. I think that's probably where it starts. Could be a little bit back from that. But there's certainly clubs that rate him inside the top 20, even though he missed most of the year with a stress fracture in his foot. But he's just a really clean midfielder, high footy IQ. There's recruiters that just love him. So I think he's pretty high up. Harry Kyle's the other one. He's come in a bit as well. I've got him getting a bid from GWS at pick 30, but that could even come slightly higher than that. There's a few clubs that are looking at halfbacks, including the Western Bulldogs and also GWS. He's seriously athletic. A few recruiters have compared him to Finn Callaghan at the Giants. So he could be the first, but probably more likely to be the second Swans Academy member to get a bid behind Max King. And Lockie Carmichael also has a fair bit of interest in that range too. So I think he's not far behind or could even be in front of Harry Kyle. Potentially. So and then the other big one is Marcus Kras. I'm going to butcher this, but Krasmodanskis. Yes. So he's a 201 centimeter athletic ruckman. He was only invited to the state draft combine, and he was playing high level basketball until last year before switching to footy. But there's clubs who think he could be gone in the 20s, which would be a fair bolt. But yeah, he's my bolter inside this top 36, I think. Yeah.
So if Geelong do have a dip at Jai Murray at 20, the Suns are then matching bids potentially two in the top five and then one at 20. Have you done the maths on them being able to afford that third bid?
Yeah, it makes it hard for them to get, yeah, potentially. Well, Bo Adensel's the other top rated one. Kobe Coulson is another. I mean, they can't get all five in. It's just not going to happen. But, yeah, I think they can get Murray. And after that, not sure. Depends where the Adensel bid comes. I mean, some think he could be top 30. Some think he could be slightly back from that. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Scary for other clubs, isn't it? Because I think it wouldn't be controversial to say that going into next season, Brisbane and Gold Coast probably have the two strongest teams on paper, and the academy talent coming through in this draft, it's quite something.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? So they're stocked, and Brisbane, of course, has got Dan Annabelle coming in too. And I spoke to one club a couple of days ago who said that they would have him number one on their list. So that's how highly he's rated by some. Some plenty of talent coming through those Northern academies.
In the mock draft, Dan, you drafted for Richmond. You had Sam Grill going in the top 10. Is he still a decent chance there? We've got him sliding back a little bit further now in this Phantom draft.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the word now. I mean, for mock draft, it was more on needs and with who they drafted last year in Sam Lawler, Josh Smiley as well. It was sort of that toss-up in the mock draft between Roby and Grill, and went for the speed and running capacity of Sam Grill. But, yeah, I wouldn't completely rule it out. But, yeah, it seems to be that if Richmond don't go him earlier, that it could be a bit of a slide potentially. And obviously, Cav has him going a bit lower in reality. So, yeah, obviously, Hawthorn, yeah, he would be a really good fit for their midfield. Yeah, I think it would really complement the likes of Will Day, Jai Newcomb in there, and probably starts off halfback next year.
And I just wanted to touch on Adelaide, Cav. So, disappointing finish to the season, but the minor premiers, And looks like they've signalled an intent to trade into the first round here for that second pick. Do you think it's the local products that they're interested in with that pick? You've got them going for Filippo and then Mitch Marsh.
I do think it is the local products. So I think there's a feeling that Filippo would be off the board by the time their first pick comes around as it currently stands. But they're definitely in discussions with Carlton. I think they're still weighing up whether or not they want to trade that future first, because next year's draft does look pretty good. There's also some good South Australians next year. So, Filippo's pretty solid prospect. I think I've got him going to Adelaide at 15, which is that Carlton pick. And then I've got Adelaide picking up Mitch Marsh, who's a South Australian forward, marking forward. I think they're looking towards what life after Tex Walker looks like. So he fits the bill there too. But I think those two would add a fair bit of excitement in the front half. And if Adelaide doesn't get that pick from Carlton, I would just be watching St Kilda. Currently don't have a pick until pick 50. Less likely to trade in a future first for that selection, but I wouldn't rule it out. I know that Ross Lyon only went to the draft combine and interviewed one player, and it was Jovan Filippo.
Wow.
So he wasn't there for that long. Clearly St Kilda's got a bit of interest in him. I think whether or not it was a courtesy, because Ross has got a very good relationship with Mateus, you know, maybe it was just that. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I would just be watching that for the Saints.
There you go. That's some intriguing mail. We heard from Saints president Andrew Bassett towards the end of the season. The Saints won't be afraid to offend people, was what he said. They're going to do some odd things, maybe some aggressive moves on draft night with the pick swaps.
And the interesting watch, I think, for them as well is they've got Kai Fincher, who's an NGA prospect, a little bit of a loophole that's going to be probably eliminated from next year, where his mum, or he was born overseas when his mum was working there.
Hong Kong.
Similar to Jesse Mellor from Geelong as well, who lived in Thailand for all of 8 months. But Kai Fincher, one with a bit of a pretty broad range, could even attract a bid in the teens, but then even might slide a bit to the 30s. But St Kilda at the moment don't have too many draft points at their disposal. So it would be interesting, particularly if they do trade back in, whether they can secure Kai Fincher as well.
Yeah, I think they're not going to match a bid on Fincher if it is in that early 20s range, or which is a possibility. I don't have him in my 36 at the moment, but he was discussed in that range. So he didn't miss out by much. But if a bid does come mid-30s onwards, then I think the Saints match, because that pick 50 will come into maybe 45, 44. Mm. That's the projection. So that won't cost them too much. But if it affects their first rounder next year and pushes that back too far, they're not going to, you know, they'll leave it alone and Fincher will be going somewhere else. So be an interesting watch, that one.
A quick one before we move on. Code Sports has a special offer going at the moment for listeners and viewers. 12 months for just $49. So that gets you all the premium content, analysis, inside access, and a very special upcoming draft project that we have in the pipeline called Chasing the Dream. So you can hit the link in the description to get access. Now, I've just got a couple of questions without notice. One that a lot of people have been asking me, I didn't check before I came on the show, unfortunately, but Josh Lindsay, who we've got going to the Bulldogs at pick 17 here, is he a relation of Xavier Lindsay? Because you look at the way they play, their profiles, they're quite similar, like classy left-footers.
I might take this one. Being Dan's a Geelong man. A guy, he's no relation whatsoever, but yeah, very, very classy left-footer. Was in top five conversations earlier in the year, particularly after his AFL Academy game, where he was best on in one of those VFL against the VFL side, and but has slid back probably a little bit as indicated in that Phantom draft. So it'll be interesting to see where he does go, and I guess clubs are probably a little bit having those question marks maybe whether he can move into the midfield, but. Certainly the best kick of the draft. So, yeah, should provide a bit of value there in the teens.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out Melbourne or Hawthorn for him, but I've got him slipping back to the Bulldogs at 17.
And, Cav, just casting your eye over the first round of the draft, is there anyone who stands out as particularly ready to play senior football from round one? Because I know a few teams are screaming out for that player who can slot straight in, give them hope by playing early in the season. Who's in the best position to do that?
Did you say Essendon there? I think there is a few teams that would like some quick starters. And I've got Essendon picking up Dyson Sharp, who I think is ready to go. he could slot straight into that midfield, play a bit of half forward as well.
Could have played midfield this year.
Well, he definitely could have. I mean, he was playing senior sample footy this year. He's been doing that for a couple of years, actually. So, I think he's the one to watch there. And he also brings some leadership with it, which Essendon needs as well. We're having almost lost Jack Merritt, their captain, walk out during the trade period. So I think he's probably the standout for mine, Dan.
Yeah, I'm just looking sort of up at the top. Gold Coast, obviously, they've got a pretty set lineup, but I'd be expecting Dylan Patterson and Zeke Ewan to play early in the year, particularly Zeke Ewan, just so professional the way he goes about it, and very versatile with the role. And the comparisons have been made there to Errol Goulden with the way he uses it. Obviously, West Coast, you think that their players could potentially. Would be more inclined to play considering the sort of the makeup of their list at the moment. You'd say Willem Dersma probably does slot in there, but even a guy like Jacob Farrow as well, who Cav has them selecting homegrown products, has played league footy this year at West Perth, and good size as well at 188 centimetres. So could I think he's one who to watch, particularly for super coaches as well.
There's a few names missing from the Fandom draft that have been on your draft boards over the last few months. Any names that jump out at you that could enter the frame on the opening night of the draft?
Yeah, well, Finch is one who we've talked about there. Could be anywhere from that 20 to, I don't know, 40 range. So, but the other one for me is Matt Lorade too. So South Australian wingman, had a really strong national championships. He's a cricket convert, so he hasn't actually had a full pre-season. Clubs have had a bit of a knock on his endurance, but as I say, he was playing cricket last summer. So he, I think once you get him into an AFL environment, he could be a pretty special player. I really like him, but he's got a really wide range of probably pick 20 to 40. So I've heard him linked to Essendon. Not sure that they go with him at pick 19. That might be a touch early, but he could also get to, I don't know, early 40s. So I think he definitely gets taken. He's good enough to be taken. And talking of the Chasing the Dreams draft documentary, he is part of that. So look out for that. But, he's just an interesting watch for mine.
And anyone on your radar, Dan, who could sneak into that first round?
Yeah, I'm interested to see where Fred Rodriguez goes, a WA product, midfielder, AFL Academy, WA MVP. Him and Sam Swadling as well, another similar type of midfielder, sort of tall midfielder, both from WA, because seems like they do have quite broad ranges with clubs and where they're rated, but they do have plenty of fans in that region. Also, Max Kondogiannis, one who probably hasn't been mentioned a great deal. He has his fans as well in the 30s and 40s there, sort of range of the draft. So it will be interesting to see where those guys go. But that's the thing with this draft crop. There's 40, 50, 60 players trying to fit into that sort of 30, bottom 30 of the draft. So it's going to be some unlucky stories, I think, and maybe some guys who go on and get picked up in the mid-season drafts or go on to have train-on spots at clubs. So, there's going to be some unlucky stories, I reckon, this year.
One club said to me the other day there could be 100 players picked at pick 25. That's how even it is after you get outside that. Well, I think clubs think about that top 14 or so is pretty strong, and then it's, up to interpretation of who wants what.
Mm. Might help to be 2 metres tall and have a name like Marcus Krasnodanski to get through to that first round. A lot to play out over the next couple of weeks. Really exciting stuff with the pick swaps in there as well. The draft on November 19 and 20. You can follow along all our coverage on the Code Sports and Herald Sun websites. And thanks, Cav and Dan, for coming on and giving us your insights. It's an exciting time, and we'll see you all over the next few days as the draft approaches.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna, dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.